good luck, good health, God bless you. That's all my heart can say.
Good luck, good health, God bless you.
Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Dr. Susan Wood, a former FDA Assistant Commissioner for Women's Health. She's an Associate Professor of Health Policy and of Environmental and Occupational Health and the Executive Director of the Jacobs Institute of Women's Health at George Washington University School of Public Health and Health Services. Welcome to Background Briefing, Dr. Susan Wood.
Thank you. Delighted to be here.
And the op-ed that the actress Angelina Jolie wrote in the New York Times this week caused quite a storm of interest in women's health issues, particularly when they pertain to breast cancer. Of course, back in 1974, First Lady Betty Ford spoke openly about her mastectomy. And I guess Angelina Jolie's op-ed is even lifting the curtain further on this. Is that, how does it strike you?
Well, I think it's telling us a story of how, you know, things about breast cancer have changed and how they've stayed the same. I think the fear of breast cancer is something that women do fear, whether it's something they heard about from their mothers, you know, and the women like Betty Ford bringing breast cancer sort of out from behind the curtain and acknowledging that it's something that is a very common cancer in women. One out of eight women will have breast cancer in their lifetime. But we've also come a very long way in that breast cancer is now can be detected, and if detected early, can be treated, and if treated early, can lead to a much prolonged life and cure for many women, while it still takes many women's lives at the same time. And we also know a lot more about the different kinds of breast cancer, not as much as we need to know to truly get at it, but the fact that for a small group of women, there's a very high genetic risk, and it's very important to realize that it's a small group of women, but if you have that very high genetic risk, then the chances of getting breast cancer are quite high, up to 85% chance that you'll get breast cancer in your life, as opposed to, you know, 1 in 8, about 12% of your chance of getting breast cancer through the course of your life. So those women have to take special steps, and that's what Angelina Jolie did in making a decision about how to address that risk in her life.
And the mutation that she was screened for, that she has, is called BRCA1, and there's another one called BRCA2, and they're estimated to cause 5 to 10% of breast cancers and 10% to 15% of ovarian cancers. Mm-hmm. So, and then in her case, she said, he wrote in her New York Times article about her double mastectomy, Angelina Jolie wrote that her chances were up to 87%, which I guess is why she went ahead and did it. It's got to be an
right,
awfully...
Right, I think those numbers, what we're saying is 5 to 10% of all the breast cancers across the entire population are related to that gene. But if you have those genes, your individual risk can be 85, 87% in your life that you will likely get it. And that was what she was facing and when she thought about whether or not to have this surgery.
So given how expensive the screening to find out whether you have this mutation, BRCA, what's the medical advice on that? If it's, even if you have it, your chances vary, right?
Well, if you have it, you have a very high chance of breast cancer, but your chance of having it is quite low. So what you need, what doctors look at and what medical experts look at is whether you are at high risk for having a genetic risk of breast cancer as opposed to having the sort of overall background risk that all women face. And that depends on your family history. So for women who are not Ashkenazi Jewish, which has an increased risk of this cancer, of this genetic breast cancer, you need to have two first-degree relatives. So your mother, your daughter, or a sister diagnosed with breast cancer, one of whom younger than age 50. And then there's a series of others of ways to look at the pattern of breast cancer in your immediate family to see if it looks like it's something you inherited through the genes as opposed to caused by something else. And there's lots of ideas about what causes breast cancer, but no real firm. It's not as much knowledge as we'd like to know as to what causes it. But for the women, where it looks like it's something you inherited, it'll show up in your family. And that's where either someone will have already been diagnosed as having this genetic mutation in their cells, or you have this very strong family history. And if you're not one of those women, then you're not going to be recommended to have the screening test. If you are one of those women and it's recommended that you have this screening test, it's likely that your health insurance would cover it.
Again, I'm speaking with Dr. Susan Wood, who's a former FDA commissioner for women's health. She's also a professor of health policy and of environmental and occupational health and the executive director of the Jacobs Institute of Women's Health at George Washington University School of Public Health and Health Services. So, but having mastectomies as opposed to lumpectomies, that was something of a controversy up until recently, and I think there was a book written about it called The Breast Cancer Wars by a medical historian, and it, apparently a lot of women had mastectomies. Some of them had double mastectomies because they didn't want to have one breast differ from another. And then it turned out that more recent research indicated that was unnecessary and that lumpectomies in combination with radiation was more effective. So where do we stand on that? Because as you know, there's a certain cynicism out there that people have about the medical profession and that
right.
A lot of doctors make money out of surgeries and a lot of people have unnecessary surgeries. So
that's true. And I think what we've been learning about women who get breast cancer, and these are not women like, you know, Ms. Jolie, who had this genetic risk, and therefore she does not have breast cancer, just a very high risk of it. Women who have breast cancer, it has been shown that more localized surgery, the lumpectomy, just taking the tumor and the tissue around the tumor out, and then with radiation and sometimes with chemotherapy as well, that they have just as good of outcomes as if they'd had a mastectomy. And so over the years, the evidence has shown that having a full mastectomy is not necessary for many women, and it depends on the cancer and its location and that sort of thing. But for many women, a lumpectomy, which is not going to be as dramatic, both a surgery but also dramatic impact on your breast, is just as effective in essentially limiting the breast cancer now and treating that breast cancer. But for someone at without breast cancer yet, but at very high risk, some women decide to have mastectomy because you don't know where that cancer is going to show up in the breast tissue. And so the prophylactic mastectomy, doing it in advance, is to try and prevent cancer from showing up wherever it might show up. And you have no lump to take out, so everything goes out. Now, there are alternative treatments of hormonal treatments, being very watchful and trying to catch any cancer very early should it show up. But we do have to remember that the women who go through prophylactic mastectomy, they may never have gotten breast cancer. So they're making a decision, but it's not because they know they're going to get breast cancer. They're at high risk of it, and they've decided, rather than live with that fear and that risk hanging over them, to go through the surgery. And that's a choice women can make, but some of them would never have gotten cancer at all.
Well, that's an awfully tough choice, isn't it?
It is. To make that decision and to go public about it, helps more women talk about decisions about mastectomy, because you then follow up with, what do you do next? Do you go through a reconstruction surgery, which are quite major surgeries in and of themselves? And do you have breast implants, which will break in, say, 10 or 15 years and therefore need further surgeries and which don't have good cosmetic outcomes multiple times over one's lifetime if like Ms. Jolie, you do it young. So there are lots of decisions to be made and thought through, and women's priorities and about how to handle the risk, what to do after the surgery, to make sure you have the knowledge about the risks that come with breast implants. All of these things require a lot of information, a lot of thought, and figuring out what your priorities are.
Well, Dr. Susan Wood, again, the professor of health policy and of environmental occupational health and the executive director of the Jacobs Institute of Women's Health at George Washington University School of Public Health and Health Services. Just to deal with cosmetic surgery and breast implants, that, of course, has been a longstanding controversy, hasn't it? And initially, I think it started out with some of the women that were victims of Hiroshima. I think they were the first to get breast implants, and I think it became popular in the occupation of Japan because American GIs liked bigger breasts, and Japanese women therefore accommodated them by having silicone, injected directly into their breasts.
Yeah,
turned out to be a catastrophe. So there's a very grim history, is there not, of breast implants and augmentation?
Yes, certainly with breast cancer patients, trying to reconstruct their breasts is certainly very an understandable desire. But whether, for whatever reason, implants are put in, there are risks that come with them. They are not well studied, although many medical devices are not well studied at all. So that's to put that in perspective. But breast implants, they will break over time, and most women, I think, enter into them either in the case of a crisis like breast cancer or for cosmetic purposes, not thinking 20 years out. And when they break, the silicone can migrate around the body, causing various problems, and they are fully recommended to be removed upon breakage, whether they're full of saline, which is sort of like salt water fill, or whether they're full of silicone, which is more jello-like. When they rupture, and they will, that silicone can migrate around. The FDA and the medical profession recommends that they be removed and replaced, but oftentimes that surgery isn't recognized or isn't treated properly, and there will be complications down the line. There are also shorter-term complications of infection and scar tissue forming, which can be quite painful, which are more immediate to the surgery, but these longer-term breakage issues in terms of the product and the problems it will create for women down the line are often not recognized.
Well, surely, Dr. Susan Wood, since I'm sure a lot of audience are hearing this for the first time, I don't believe or don't expect or suspect that this kind of information about the dangers involved in breast augmentation are particularly advertised, and particularly out here in Hollywood, where women have...
No, they're not. there is good information in a booklet presented by the Food and Drug Administration. With the new products that have been removed, FDA has required companies to do long-term studies, but unfortunately, the studies are not being maintained, and women are being, as they say, lost to follow-up and not being followed over time to see what the outcomes are. So there is information out there, but most women don't know it, and they may not be as likely to get it from their plastic surgeon as they might get it from another doctor or from, if they go looking for that information from reputable sources like the Food and Drug Administration. But, these are is information that is important for women to have, that, women can make their own decisions about what they feel is important, but you need to have the information about the fact that they will rupture and they will need to be replaced over time, and they should be monitored by every 2 years, having an MRI, because mammograms don't work as well with breasts that have implants in them. So there's an ongoing issues with breast implants that women need to be aware of before they have the surgery. But unfortunately, as you said, they often don't get that, or they push that information aside while they're dealing with a crisis of cancer, or just not thinking forward into the future.
Well, it would seem to me, though, that the difference between the situation that Angelina Jolie went through this prophylactic preventative double mastectomy, which was clearly a difficult choice for anybody to make, let alone a movie star, you know. So that seems to me to be a far cry from the vanity of wanting to have bigger breasts or your boyfriend wanting you to have bigger breasts. I mean, to me,
I think it's important to realize that, you know, women have implants for, you know, very serious reasons or for less serious reasons. And certainly, you know, maintaining your body image is important for many women, and one could say certainly for movie stars, at least in this era that we live in. But I know some women, certainly when they face cancer, they think they just want it to be over. They want the cancer away. They want the risk away. And that I very much understand in terms of wanting to end the fear and to not have to live with it every day. But unfortunately, the multiple surgeries, you know, the reconstruction surgery brings a temporary closure, but it is not, it will not be over. There will be, in years to come, consequences that are addressed by women who have reconstruction or who have implants for augmentation purposes.
Well, just in closing, to finish up on this subject, Dr. Susan Wood, you mentioned that if a young woman has breast implants for reasons of vanity as opposed to, you know, prophylactic mastectomies because of a gene mutation that causes cancer, we've established that there's a world of difference between these two things. But if you have breast implants, you said that it makes it more difficult to be screened for mammograms. Is there a higher risk then of getting breast cancer if you have implants?
I don't know if it's, there are some higher risks for some specific types of cancers that are very start as low risk and get higher with breast implants. But what you have a higher risk of is missing a cancer because the breast implant itself blocks the mammogram from effectively seeing into the tissue and seeing any small cancer. So you have, if you have breast implants, you are recommended to have very special kinds of mammograms, different angles, different types, or even to have MRIs or sonograms in to order, because the traditional mammogram won't get a clear picture and may miss cancers in the breast. It's also associated with some, if the silicone migrates out of the body, out of the breast capsule, it can is associated with some other increased risk of other kinds of cancers as well.
Well, I thank you very much for joining us here today, Dr. Susan Wood.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you.
Again, I've been speaking with Dr. Susan Wood, who's a former FDA Commissioner for Women's Health. She is a professor of health policy and of environmental and occupational health, and the executive director of the Jacobs Institute of Women's Health at George Washington University School of Public Health and Health Services. We're going to take a brief station break, and we're back talking about the radical change in American energy use, where the U.S. will soon be a net exporter of oil.